James chapter 1, and our text once again is at verse 22, where we read, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." When we last considered the words of this text, we dealt with the interest in hearing God's word. We dealt with that at length, emphasizing the need to have an interest in hearing the word of the Lord. Yes, we know it's good to study the word. It's good to read the word. It is good to learn the word. But James here emphasizes the hearing of the word. Wherefore, verse 19, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." You look at the context, he's dealing with the word. Verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word," and then down in verse 25, "he being not a forgetful hearer." So, James is evidently speaking about listening to the preaching of the word, being a hearer of the word, sitting under the preaching of the word. And he tells us that we are to be swift to hear, or ready. Ready to hear. So when we go to the Lord's house to worship God, James tells us here, be ready to hear. We go to the Lord's house, we take our place, we take our seat or our pew, we sing the psalms, we sing the hymns of praise, and then with the Bible in our hands, we say in our hearts, "Now I'm ready to hear the word." And our silent prayer then is, "Master, speak. Thy servant heareth. What hast thou to say to me? Longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me?" So while it is our desire, as we've already said, to read and study, memorize the word, here James is dealing with the hearing. Hearing the word of God as it is being preached. And he expects every believer to have a genuine interest in having an ear for the word of God. But having an interest in hearing the word is not the whole of the matter. No, it's not the whole of the matter. Because as well as an interest in hearing God's word, we see from the words of James the importance of hearing God's word. So we have dealt with the interest in hearing God's word. Now tonight we want to look at the importance of hearing the word of God. It is important. The fact that James refers, as we pointed out, four times to being a hearer of the word emphasizes its importance. Four times over, speaks about hearing. And when that is attended to, when we attend to the hearing of the word, what will that produce? First of all, the importance of hearing the Word of God will produce spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Surely that is what every believer wants in his or her life. They want to grow and mature spiritually. Not only does James here teach us how important that is to have spiritual growth through the hearing of the Word, but Peter also emphasizes this. The need to hear the Word if we are to grow, if we are to become spiritually mature and have spiritual growth. We can ask ourselves even tonight. We can examine our own hearts in the light of God's Word, and we can say, how much have I grown spiritually from the day I was saved? Have I grown spiritually? Have I matured spiritually? Look at what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2. And there in the opening two verses. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. So there's spiritual growth through the hearing and attending to the Word of God. And when we look at the words here of Peter with regard to the spiritual growth, you'll notice first of all he speaks about a spiritual desire. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Here, as you can see, Peter is addressing those who are just starting out in their Christian life. And to them, he says, desire. Have a desire for the sincere milk of the Word, just like a babe, an ordinary, natural child. You wouldn't give it a lamb chop. You wouldn't give it a steak. You give it milk. And here Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. I remember back in Ulster, used to have inter-fellowship quizzes. And all the fellowship, young people's fellowship in our churches, were all given a set number of books to study. Possibly 4 books. And then 2 teams would come together. Questions would be asked on those 4 books. And I remember I was asked to be quiz master at one of these quizzes. And asked the questions to the both teams, 3 or 4 young people in each team. And at the end of the evening, there was one man, one young man on one of the team. He never answered one question. He didn't know the answer to one question, even though he had been given the 4 books. You know what he said to me afterwards? He says, you know, if there had been some questions in prophecy, I would have known that was all right. What about the milk of the Word? What about getting into the Word and learning the ABC of the Gospel? And he, along with the others, had been given the 4 books to study. But no, he thought he was an expert on the prophetic Word. Here Peter says desire. The sincere milk of the word. It's like whenever Dr. Douglas was teaching us Greek, we were given a textbook. And of course, we had to start at chapter 1. Learn the Greek alphabet for the next week. And after a while, Mr. Douglas says, any of you men, any students got a question? One of the students put up his hand. He says, I have a question. He says, what does that mean there over in chapter 12? Mr. Douglas says, brother, just start learning chapter 1. Never mind about chapter 12. You get there soon enough. He needed to start, like the rest of us, at the milk, at the beginning, the first chapter of the textbook. And as a newborn babe in Christ, that's where we are to begin. Desire the sincere milk of the word. That word desire is a very strong word. I'll show you where else it is used and how it is translated. If you turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and verse 11. Romans 1 verse 11, Paul says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Here the word desire is translated longed. To long after something, or to long after someone. And you can see the sense of the word here. Paul says, I long to see you. I often think of our soldiers whenever they're deployed in some Iraq or wherever, and they're there for 3, 6, or 9 months. And I'm sure they long to be home. And you see the wives and the children waiting at the airport to embrace their husbands and fathers and mothers. They long to see one another. That's the sense of the word. It's a strong word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Long after the word. The way you would long after someone that you love and haven't seen for months or maybe years, you long to see them. That's the word. In Philippians 1, in verse 8, Paul says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. And he says, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It shows us how strong his longing was to see the believers in the church there at Philippi. That's the longing we are to have for the word. A longing, a desire to hear the word. We think of that when it comes to the Sabbath day. We have a longing to hear the word of God. As well as a spiritual desire. Peter here speaks about something else. He speaks about a spiritual diet. Here's the spiritual diet for the Christian, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. There's the diet. And both James and Peter speak about what had been preached unto the believers. James 1 verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It's the word of truth. It's the sincere word of God. So we are to desire the word of truth. In verse 21 of James 1. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's the word. Again, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word. There's our spiritual diet. It is the word of God. That's what we're to desire. Peter speaks about the word of the Lord, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter 1:25. It's the word. And then he speaks about the sincere milk of the word. And you call how Paul, in speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, what did he say? Timothy, preach the word. The word. Not the enticing words of man's wisdom. No, Timothy, you be sure and preach the word. It's the word and the preaching of it that saves souls. It's the word and the preaching of it that builds up believers in their most holy faith. It leads to spiritual maturity. When you think of the word, it is the inspired word. Paul is told in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Those words mean all scripture is God breathed. What we have before us is the God breathed word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And there we have the spiritual diet for the believer. There we have the spiritual diet for the spiritual man. We know that we are bombarded constantly by the world's dietitians telling us what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. What's good for us and what's bad for us. Well, here God is telling us what is good for us spiritually. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There's our diet. It is the word. As James referred to it, as James 1 verse 18, the word of truth. And when it comes to hearing the word, we better make sure it is the word of truth. We better make sure that what is being given to us is the inspired word of God. Because it is only by giving ear to the preaching of the pure word of God that the believer may be built up in their most holy faith. That's what Peter's teaching here. When he refers to the sincere word of God. Sincere. Mark this. That word sincere is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. That word sincere is only used with reference to God's word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. And since it's only used once and it's used here, would that not tell us, teach us about the uniqueness of God's word? God's word is like no other word. and so desire the sincere milk of the Word. The word sincere, what does it mean? The word sincere means pure. The word means unadulterated. The word means guileless, unadulterated. That is a word that has not been tampered with. Hasn't been tampered with. The other way, the boys, some boys say, oh, well, you challenge them about, so, oh, well, it doesn't really mean that. It doesn't really mean that. Like a man who didn't believe in everlasting life. I said to him, I said, well, the Bible talks about everlasting salvation. Obviously, says the word everlasting. It doesn't mean everlasting. What does it mean then? You can make it mean anything. He was prepared to tamper with the word. No, Paul or Peter says, desire the sincere, the unadulterated, the pure word of God. That's what we're to give ear to. 2 Corinthians. Paul deals with the word there. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17. Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Paul says, I'm not one of those that corrupt the word of God. The word corrupt there means to deal deceitfully with it. To be deceitful. Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. I'm not one of those who corrupt God's word. Paul says, what I give you is the pure, unadulterated word of God. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now notice, Paul says, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we. Because Paul knew he had to answer to God. If I were to stand in this pulpit and not preach the word, but rather corrupt the word, I would have to face God and give an answer as to why I wasn't honest in my preaching. Paul says, I'm not one of those who deals with the word of God deceitfully. That word corrupt is an interesting word. Yes, it is used here to handle deceitfully. Handle the word of God deceitfully. But you know what the word is used for, to describe? This word corrupt is used to describe a huckster. That is, a merchant who is deceitful in his business. We call that individual a huckster. They're deceitful in their business practices. When my wife and I and her family lived in Oman, I was a student minister there. It was a little convenience store that we frequented often, in the middle of the town. We got to know the lady who owned the store. We got to know her son, who was there from time to time, and then we heard the tragic news that her son had been killed in an accident. and into the store to sympathize with her. She brought me into the little room at the back, and I prayed with her, read the scriptures to her, and spoke to her about her soul, and told her she needed to be saved. Do you know what she said? She says, no. She says, I couldn't become a Christian the way I run my business. The way I run my business. She admitted, she confessed, that she had dealt with her customers deceitfully. Whatever she was doing, she hadn't been honest in her business practices. And that's what she said. I could never become a Christian for that reason. The word here is a word that means a huckster. The Lord speaks about them there in Isaiah 1 verse 22. In Isaiah 1 verse 22, he speaks about those. He says, thy wine is mixed with water. Water it down. Sell it at the same price, but water it down. Person that does that is a huckster. I tell you, there's many a clerical husker at that business today. Now, speaking, as I mentioned to you, to a brother, Mr. Greer, and he showed me a newspaper cutting, and he read out some of the things about this so-called minister said. A minister. An Irish Presbyterian minister. And you would not believe the things that he said. He was asked, do you believe there's a hell? He didn't believe when there was a hell. He says, well, if there's a hell, there's nobody in it. Didn't believe in the way of salvation. Didn't believe this, didn't believe that, didn't believe the other thing. And he's a minister. He stands in the pulpit on the Lord's day and preaches. He's a huckster. What does he do? He waters down the wine of God's word. And he'll answer to God for it. And all those souls that sat under his preaching, and he didn't tell them the truth. He didn't tell them you need to be saved. He has the blood of all those souls on his hands. A solemn business, I tell you. Paul says, I am not one of those that corrupt the word of God that Paul preached, the pure, unadulterated word of God. That's the word that we are to give ear to. If we want to grow. 2 Peter chapter 2. The opening three verses. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring indomitable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's the business that Irish Presbyterian minister was in. The word of truth, the way of truth, was evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you. That's right, water down the wine. Make merchandise of you. Peter's saying there, They'll take you for a sucker. You know what you say? Oh, you've been taken for a sucker. So Peter say, you've been taken in by those who make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. The day is coming. Wouldn't want to be in their shoes, I tell you. God says, I will require the blood of those souls at their hands. In the day of judgment, I don't want any man or woman to point the finger at me and say, you never told me. I needed to be saved. Paul made it clear in that verse we considered there, 2 Corinthians 2 and 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. You know what a minister is? Well, we know he's a witness. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. A witness. We're a witness for the Lord. When a person goes to court and stands in the witness box, as far as I know, still do the same thing, stand in the witness box, he puts his hand on the copy of the scriptures and he's asked, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? And the witness says, I do. You know something? This pulpit's my witness box. Whoever occupies this pulpit is in the witness box. And he's challenged. Will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And if he's an honest witness, he'll say, so help me God, I will tell the truth. And that's the way it is to be. The preacher of the word is to tell the truth. And the hearer of the word is to make sure it's the truth that they hear. Why? Peter said, that ye may grow thereby. What would you think of a mother who gave a newborn babe a bottle of milk that has more water in it than milk and continued to do so? We know what would happen. The child would become very, very weak. Would have no strength in it at all. Likewise, if a Christian is to grow, he or she must attend to the preaching of the pure Word of God, the inspired Word of God. This was something that Paul was very aware of, 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, and have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If our gospel be hid, if I don't preach the gospel, Paul says, And I don't warn people and tell people their need of Christ. My gospel that I preach is hidden from the hearer, and that hearer will go to hell. Because I'm not telling them the truth. And if it's believers I'm dealing with, those believers will not grow at all. They'll remain as babes. And weak babes too. As well as attending to the preaching of the inspired word, there is also the preaching of the incarnate word. That is, just as the preaching of the inspired word is food for the soul, so the preaching of Christ is food for the soul. The incarnate word. Christ is the word incarnate. Isn't that what we read in John? And the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Christ is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The preaching of Jesus Christ is food for the soul. That's the way it should be. As you know, from time to time, well, over the years we've been here, folk come in, pay us a visit one time only, want to know any programs, see what programs do you have, what this and what that. But they never say, do you preach Christ here? I wish they would. Because the preaching of the inspired word, the preaching of the incarnate word, is what builds believers up in their most holy faith. Christ is food for the soul. That's why we endeavor always to preach Christ. Now what the Lord Himself said in John chapter 6, and there in verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then he goes on to say, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The bread of God. Christ is the bread of God. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. You want to grow in the things of God? Feast on Jesus Christ. And that's where we ought to attend, where there is the preaching of the inspired word and the preaching of the incarnate word. In other words, where there is the preaching of Jesus Christ. Because He's the bread of life. So there we can see the importance of preaching Christ. The importance of giving ear to the preaching of Christ. And any man who does not preach Christ, he's not preaching the word. Remember the late Mrs. Doble when she was here? Dear sister. Told me one time, says, you know the church we went to, we never heard Christ preached. She says we heard His name read out in the scripture reading, but after that, the dear Savior was hardly mentioned. There was no preaching of Christ. We want to grow there needs to be the preaching of the Lord Jesus. Not what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 17. That verse we looked at a couple of times. Paul said he wasn't one of those who corrupted the word of God. But he says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Those words, speak we in Christ, may be rendered, speak we of Christ. And the verse of Scripture on the pulpit wall behind me are the words of Paul. That's right. We preach Christ and Him crucified, because Christ is our manna. Christ is our bread. Christ is our food. Christ is our meat. And as newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. We are to desire the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's how we'll grow. We've noted the spiritual desire. We've noticed the spiritual diet. That leads us to a spiritual development. Isn't that what Peter said there? That ye may grow thereby. That's speaking, referring to development. We're developing. That ye may grow. You know the way it is. You haven't seen little children for a couple of months, and you see them again, you say, boy, that wee girl's fairly growing. A little wee boy's really growing up. You notice the difference. They're growing because they've been well fed. That's the way it is to be with believers. We're to grow, and we'll only grow if we're well fed. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Spiritual development. The importance of hearing God's word leads to spiritual growth, leads to sanctifying godliness. Isn't that what the Lord prayed? The Lord prayed for us to grow spiritually. We noted this morning, He prayed for our salvation, prayed for us before we ever knew Him, and in His great high priestly prayer, as it's called, in John 17, the Lord said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, speaking about His disciples and His people. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The Lord then said, He's praying to His Father, He said, sanctify them. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's the Lord praying for our sanctification. The Lord is praying that we will be made holy and live holy lives, for without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And the Lord says, how will we be sanctified? Sanctify them, the Lord says, through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's how we're sanctified. That's how we live and are led to live holy lives. If you look there at that first chapter of James, James chapter 1 and verse 21, I think this is interesting. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. See, having a desire for the word will lead us to separate from filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. Peter teaches the same thing. You look at 1 Peter in chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. If you have a love for the word and a desire for the word and a longing for the word, you'll not be interested in those other things. Those that are unclean, you'll lay them all aside. Having a desire for the word of God will lead us away from that which is unclean. Boy, haven't we got a great word here? Even the word of God. Let us then desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. And let us, as James has exhorted us, to be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Let us be hearers and doers. We'll continue the study, Lord willing, next Sabbath evening. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we thank Thee for showing us and emphasizing once again the importance of Thy Word in our lives, the importance of hearing Thy Word, the importance of doing Thy Word. O Lord, may we indeed be ready hearers, swift to hear, slow to speak. And O Lord, the part of the preacher, give me grace, whatever circumstances, whatever the surroundings, always to preach the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And in so doing, we'll always, always preach Christ. For He has said, I have I been lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. And be with us now as we part the one from the other. Grant us all traveling mercy, every mile of the journey. Keep us safe, Lord. And be with us throughout this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.